It's lovely to sing to the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me. Joy. Wonderful. Yet, from an early age, premature cynicism, perhaps, certainly based in a belief in myself more than anything else, I suddenly realized at quite an early age that what the earth has to offer is so temporary. And my father said to me once, when I was about 9 or 10, look to that that endures. What does that mean, Dad? Look to things that mean something and are worth pursuing. All right? A 9 or 10 year old will take that on board. But my world was so earthly. In my growing up, I had a strange practice that every time there was Christmas, I would distribute the presents at the bottom of the tree, and I would take mine and put them in a little pile. I see I've got some empathy here. And I wouldn't touch them, much to my parents' disappointment. You left your presents in a pile in the corner, like a squirrel. Because the excitement of anticipation is worth more than actually opening them. Now, I didn't put it like that when I was 9 or 10 years old. I said, because they look good and I don't want to spoil it. But when the presents were opened, I realized that many of them didn't fulfill the expectation. Some did, of course. Certainly not all of them. I wanted the excitement of anticipation to last forever. And by keeping those presents in a pile, I thought they would last forever. But of course they didn't. The batteries ran out. They broke. They got lost. There was disappointment. The excitement of the day, of the moment, dissipated over the coming hours, in some cases, in the coming minutes. I remember losing one of the spanners for the Meccano set. Yes, I am quite old. And it just spoilt everything because I couldn't find it. I remember that. But thankfully, my father had in his toolbox one that was similar from when he was a boy. So that was a solution. Even the Mars bar that we busily got from our stockings at the end of the bed didn't have the same appeal at 4 o'clock in the morning. And other things that you remember in your stockings you had, perhaps. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, you tried to open with saucer eyes and rush into Mum and Dad, and they had saucer eyes too, looking at the clock. 4 o'clock. Too late. Things are done. The presents became boring. Some endured, but they became obsolete, lost, broken, batteries, you know. They didn't endure. These presents, though the excitement was there to start with, and the anticipation certainly was there, it dissipated. We have it nowadays as adults, do we not? We go for, I enjoy my meals. I enjoy food. But it ends. I know it's obvious, but it spoils it slightly for me that you have a good meal and you have to wash up or put in the dishwasher or pay the bill. And see where I'm coming from. Entertainment's the same, is it not? We're full of our senses. We want things to please. We want it to go on forever. That TV program, that series, that box set, that next series, volume 4, volume 5, and so it goes on. We want more and more and more to gratify our desires. Sensual. Does it endure? I suggest it does not. So we look around, and even as an atheist, which I was until 1986, I became a cynical person, relying on my own judgment, my own evaluation, my own reason. And nothing endured. Nothing was permanent except my own proud evaluation of the way things are. Yes, you have your belief, I said to the people who were trying to entice me, as I thought, into a belief system that comforted them, but certainly did not comfort me. I preferred to believe those theories and reasons put forward by prejudiced scientists in many of them. And I felt that every man and woman and child had a vacuum inside them, a spiritual vacuum inside them, that they filled with all sorts of things, and if it comforted them, so that was wonderful. Good for them. But for me, there was a yearning to see what was lasting. Why were they so happy? And it wasn't just a silly grin. They really endured what was put in front of them. And I wanted to know the reasons why. And with the help of members of my family, particularly my wife, we were able to, or I was able to, be shown that there's more to life than sensual gratification. Even though we were blessed with children, a bundle of joy. Wow. A bundle of joy. As dirty nappies. We have sleepless nights. They become terrible twos. And when the hormones kick in at teenage years, well, doesn't it tell you that these things, this joyfulness that people talk about, is not deep joy. It's a passing phase. It doesn't endure. When the Bible talks about joy, remarkably, in many places, it talks about joy and fear. What? How can you be joyous and fearful at the same time? Ask the shepherds. They actually, when they were on that hillside, fearful, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. The ladies who went to Jesus' tomb, expecting him to be still locked up in that tomb and to anoint the body with perfumes, saw the Lord Jesus and were so frightened, but full of joy. Scripture says so in the same sentence. How can these things be together? When the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples, they were amazed, yet full of joy. Surely that joy means something else, not just a passing phase or a brief level of excitement or gratification. No, I think the Bible talks about something that is deeper, that endures, that is genuine. For Christians, I believe there is a contentment in this joy. A contentment of heart. A different outlook. Your perception and your perspective changes. There is a serenity. There is a deep gladness down to the heart. We know that our Lord Jesus reigneth. He is sovereign. And our relationship with that God of creation is firm. He wants that relationship too. He seeks us out. But like myself when I was younger, we're so stubborn and full of pride, puffed up in our own theories and views. We're right. Everybody else is wrong. We go our own way. We plan our own things. We don't need God, we say, like I did. We even deny God's existence. And a consequence exists which says there's a gulf between God and us. A void caused by our sin. But praise be to God, he has taken it upon himself to bridge that gap out of love. He has put in place a rescue plan where we deserve justifiable exclusion from his presence by sending his own son Jesus to become a sacrificial substitute. God demonstrated his love some 2,000 years ago to be reconciled to God of creation.
Wow.
And Jesus has not let us down ever since, because he has promised. And when God promises, it's fact. It's not withdrawn or dependent or conditional. It's fact. And where he promises, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, Jesus said. Not I might, depending on your status, or your health, or your financial position, or your qualifications, or your puffed up chest. I will give you rest if you come to me in genuine sincerity. That's fact. It's a promise. And for Christians, this invitation for Jesus has been responded to. They are saved. Nothing to do with them, except they've been given the grace. Have their eyes opened, their ears unplugged, their hearts reformed, their thinking redesigned. What joy in that blessed reassurance that there is a relationship with the Creator. Now for them, Christians, there's peace. contentment, safety, happiness, rest, as we were singing earlier, full assurance. And it's permanent. Nothing will knock it. Oh, Christians have down times, as we can all testify. We're not immune to illness or accidents or hurt. But praise be to God, we have a friend in Jesus who supports us and gives us peace to see us through. Why doesn't the world see this? Why? Pride. Stubbornness. In this permanence of this joy, there's quality, authenticity, genuineness, and it's priceless to have that joy permanently in your heart. And it's free. It's not of us, it's of Him. All of Him. It's called grace. Jesus has paid the bill. He has given us the perfect gift. He invites us to be with Him. Yet, sadly, as we well know, this gift can be ignored, as it was with me, or rejected, as it was with me. Yet this Jesus, this God of creation, pursued me and brought me to salvation. It took time. This shows how stubborn and puffed up I was. Or, as many people can testify who are Christians, it can be accepted with joy, and a joy that's everlasting. So those here who are Christians are not smug in their righteousness. They're just so grateful to God and want to share the treasure that has been given to them as good news to others. This good news, the gospel. For others who are uncertain, I would invite them to check it out. Seek it, and I believe you will find. I promise you, it will be the pure joy, and not just at Christmas time, but forever. I used to love receiving mail when I was a teenager. I'm not so sure now, so I'm very suspicious. See, that cynicism hasn't dissipated fully. I used to look for a particular envelope, which was an invitation to play representative sport at home. And when it arrived, they did it like that in those days, not telephone calls, not emails, didn't exist. An envelope, a buff envelope, with a certain stamp and a certain, whatever it's called. Thank you. And I opened it, and usually it was an invitation, and it said at the bottom, RSVP. RSVP. And I thought, what does that mean? I don't want to be a reserve. I don't want to be a substitute. I can't remember what V was, but so I circled P for player and sent it back. And it was only when somebody pointed, I think it was Mum, pointed out what it really meant in French, I suddenly realized my mistake. But I think God says RSVP. Ah. Respond. Respond. Repent. Means sorry, S for sorry. And feel contrition. V, volunteer your submission and ask of all. P, please ask. Ask Jesus into your life. I am proud to reassure you that my Savior Jesus will not ignore your request. Count the invitation delivered today as yours personally, and be joyful in that knowledge that can only be fulfilled in our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I leave you with a reading from John 8:12? Jesus himself said, amongst many other things, he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not just for now, but for eternity. And in that, we should shout for joy. Amen.